Good afternoon and welcome to Broad Street. My name is Evan Hansen and I'm one of the seminarians here. And before we start, we have a couple housekeeping items to cover. We recognize that the giving of your name to others is to be vulnerable. So if you wish to share your name with us, feel free, if you have not already done so, feel free to go to the welcome table and get a, and you can write yourself out a name tag. Alan is over there waving beautifully. And that while you're over there, there is a picture for Alan on the other table. And we ask that you can leave a message or just sign it or, you know, have fun. And because Alan will be taking that with him. And during our service, if you need to use the restroom for any reason, the women's restroom is through the door behind you where I'm pointing, which is on my right, and down the stairs. And the men's restroom is just over there and down the stairs as well. Please feel free to use which one is most comfortable for you. And at this time, I invite you to close your eyes, breathe in deeply, and breathe out. Center yourself and be at peace as we hear this poem by Mirabai. I remember how my mother would hold me. I would look up at her sometimes and weep. I understand now what was happening. Love, so strong a force, it broke the cage and she disappeared from everything for a blessed moment. All actions have evolved from the taste of flight. The hope of freedom moves our cells and limbs. Unable to live on earth, Mira ventured out alone in the sky. I write of that journey of becoming as free as God. Don't forget love. It will bring all the madness you need to unfurl yourself across the universe. Please stand while we acknowledge the presence of God in this place. No matter who you are, where you've come from, or even your state of mind, you are invited to be in this place. We wouldn't be us without you, and God is already here waiting for us to gather and to worship. Bring yourself, your faith, and your doubts alike, and you will be met by a caring community and the living God. Let us sing, let us dance, praise, pray, and worship God together.
Hello, my name is Alan. I'm a chaplain intern here. The scripture reading for today is from Mark 1, 1 through 12. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.' John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, 'The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the straps of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.' In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased.' And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You guys show the band a little more love. They're pretty amazing. I want to welcome you again to Broad Street Ministry. My name is Laura. I'm one of the pastors around here. We are in the season of Lent, and Lent is a time for reflection and a time to pause and take inventory of our life. And so we've been inviting people from the community to come up and to share a little bit about their faith, because this is a good opportunity to figure out what is it that we actually believe right here and right now. And so I'm going to invite Darren up here in a second, and Darren is going to answer two questions for us. First is, what is one thing that you struggle to believe in your faith? What's something you struggle with? And two is, what is one thing that you believe deep down in your soul that you cannot be argued out of? So those are the questions, real easy, no problem. I will say for Darren and I actually met in 2009 when he showed up for some random movie that we were showing here when I was an intern. And so I was one of the first people he ever met, so you're welcome. So can we give Darren a round of applause?
I do not like the Bible verses about God's eye being on the sparrow. These words make me feel so alone and angry sometimes because I have seen too many dead birds. Also, I eat chicken. When this is said as an assurance of protection against suffering, and then, oops, the suffering did happen, or even someone died, so then it was supposed to be a consolation. That really puts a stumbling block before my path. But I believe that books contain wisdom. The Bible contains wisdom. This thing that we do, coming together to figure out things like the verse, God's eye is on the sparrow, agreeing and disagreeing about scripture, and then trying to breathe life into these words by our actions. This is a strange, marvelous thing. These words and Christ can only be understood through loving people. This book, the Bible, has been understood in so many ways, translated again and again, tweaked and changed so many times, that I think it is an act of faith just reading the Bible. Our hope is that when we meet together, like we are now, and then when we take communion, just as believers in the past, believers in the future, and believers like all over the world right now, somehow all these people were all together at the same time when we take communion, and together when we try to figure out how to love each other. It's like a game, like a mystical game of telephone down the line, whereby doing all these things, interacting with each other and interacting with the world, hopefully we'll remember what was actually first said. And then hopefully we will understand love.
Thanks so much, Darren, for sharing that. That was really powerful. My name is Rachel. I am one of the other seminarians here at Broad Street, and if you would please join me with prayer, that would be great. God, may the words that I speak tonight, the meditations of our hearts, be pleasing to you and help us draw closer to each other and to that great cloud of witnesses that are your spirit and your hands, your body in the world. Amen. So the text that we read this morning, wow, I'm very jittery and I'm not entirely sure why, but pardon me here while I get going. The text that we read this afternoon is one of my favorites, and the story of Jesus' baptism has been a favorite of mine for a really long time, and it's one that I've seen images of over and over and over again. There are a multitude of stained glass windows with this image painted on it, and paintings that I've seen wherever they are. All of the images seem to tend to be a similar sort of pattern. Maybe you've also seen some of these same patterns of pictures with these lush green banks on either side of crystal clear water in this beautiful river, Jesus very calmly standing in it and not getting swept away by any currents, and the sky is just as blue as the water is with these lovely puffy little white clouds that are gently parted, and rays of sun are there as this pristine white dove slowly descends from on high straight into Jesus. Anybody seen something like that before? Yes, familiar, great. So that is the image that I have had in my head. No matter how much I have critically engaged with the Bible, no matter how much I've like analyzed the historical context, images stick with us. And the things that we're taught, the things that we see over and over, they become these ingrained patterns in our brains. And so this January, when I went to the Holy Land, that was one of the many images that I carried with me in my brain, and then got to see the place that the story happened. Turns out it looked a little bit different. So some of you know that I was gone for the majority of the month of January because I was taking a class with my seminary peers about biblical geography. So we were traveling all over looking at a bunch of different sites where things happened in the Bible or around things that happened in the Bible, learning about context, which I think is really, really important. And the last day, we went to Bethany beyond the Jordan, which is the place where Christians for millennia have been observing the baptism of Jesus. It's a place that hundreds of thousands of people go every year to get baptized, to affirm their baptisms, to commemorate this moment in the story that we have decided to witness here together today. And so we get there, and the Jordan River in this particular place is the border between Israel and the country of Jordan. And so, first off, a thing that's different than my image that I carried with me, it's the desert. These are not lush green banks on either side of the river. There was a whole lot of brown, there was a whole lot of dirt, there was a whole lot of dust, some oranges, some yellows, a little sage here and there, but it was a really overwhelmingly brown place. not that green that I saw. Similarly, the water was also murky and muddy, and it had that brown hue to it too. It was not crystal clear. And that was a different thing. And this one thing that was the same is that the sky and the water did match because they were all brown. They were all brown. It was a hazy day. It had been quite windy, so a lot of the dust had gotten kicked up into the sky. No, like, easily seen beams of sunshine streaming down from anywhere. It was a lovely day. It was a hazy, lovely brown day. Very different than the image I carried with me when I went to this place. But beyond the natural landscape of this place that made it so different was the political landscape of this place that really caught me off guard. I knew a lot about the historical context of conflict between Israel and Jordan and Palestine and all of that. And so I wasn't going in completely clueless about that relationship there. But to be in a holy site, a holy pilgrimage site, and see the realities of what borders look like in our world today was pretty astounding. So we came over the bluff on the Jordanian side of the River Jordan, and we're coming down. And the first thing that we could see were the two platforms, one on either side of the river, so one on our Jordanian side and one on the Israeli side across the banks from us, that were where pilgrims were gathering to mark their baptisms. And around and on those platforms on both sides were a plethora of armed military guards, right? So men in their fatigues, wrapped in bullets and holding machine guns at this place that we call holy. And that was something I had not been prepared for, the gut impact that I felt in that moment. And then as we got down to that platform where you could go wade into the river a little bit, what I noticed and that got me even more than maybe the guards themselves was that right down the center of the River Jordan, cutting it right down the middle, bank from bank, is a rope of buoys, like in a YMCA pool where they mark off the different lanes, right? Just like that, that is marking the border, keeping people from other people, and saying what is and isn't welcome, what is and isn't supposed to be where things are or aren't supposed to be. A border of buoys, armed military, and even our tour guide who was with us that day said that if part of the reason the platforms were there and like there was a, you would wade into the water and there was still a fence beyond where you could wade into the water, part of the reason that was there was because if someone got swept away by a current and happened to move across that buoy, it would provoke an international crisis, was what she said. And I couldn't help but stand there, and we read this text there. We read this text, and we did affirm our baptisms in this place. And I couldn't help but think to myself, what would it look like if Jesus were baptized here today? What would that look like? And I got this image of Jesus emerging from the water, tangled in that rope of buoys, wrapped in that dividing barrier that we've created. But really, Jesus' time was no less conflicted. This wasn't a less violent or restrictive place to be when he was there either. It was different, for sure. But it wasn't like we are more or less broken right now than the world that Jesus entered into. So the context, again, is important. John the Baptizer appears in this place, not in a vacuum, not by chance. He's also not the only person in this particular place in the wilderness. He is one of many people who are rebelling from the oppressive forces that they have to experience in their lives of occupying governments and corrupt religious systems. Some of that might sound familiar to us. He is one of many people that are calling each other to accountability, calling each other to a different way of life. And so he is proclaiming, they say, a baptism of repentance. And the word that we translate as repentance there is metanoia in Greek, which means literally a turning around. It is a turning around. It is both a spiritual transformation and an actual lived transformation. It's an altered spirit and an altered life. It's a changed heart and changed behavior. They go together. So this baptism is not just a symbol. It's a call to be something different. So things are not as they should be, and that's why he's out there. It's not a peaceful time. It's not a tranquil place. It's not a crystal clear river with gorgeous banks and sunny days. That's not the point of this story. There are high stakes here, and the work that John the Baptist does gets him beheaded. He is executed for this proclamation that he's bringing, this word that he's bringing to these people. And the people turning around provoke that, right? So this is the context that Jesus shows up in. That conflicted context is Jesus's. And what happens? He emerges from the water, and the heavens are torn apart. The border between God and humanity is shattered as the Spirit swoops down and takes control and God proclaims God's word in that moment. See, God has been in the business of crossing borders for a really long time. The passage all starts as it is written in the prophet Isaiah. This is not the only time that God has broke into our world and come here to be with us in our brokenness. And yet it is a unique and special moment for us as Christians. God hasn't just been crossing borders. God has been tangling borders. God has been turning them and twisting them, getting God's self wrapped up in them. Unfurling them before us, taking us, calling us to come to the places where we say either or, us or them, you or me, God or humanity, and calling us to see both and instead of either or, us and them, you and me, God and human, all together. God came into this messy, sinful, violent, power-hungry, broken world that was that way when Jesus was here 2,000 years ago and is that way now as we sit here in this place too. God puts himself directly into those places, the hardest, messiest, most brutal, profanest places. Places like a holy site of pilgrimage split in half with buoys and machine guns. Places like a river in the wilderness full of outcasts and rebels. Places like a cross. This Lent, we have been, as Darren shared with us earlier, and as we've been talking about throughout the season, we've been talking about things we struggle with and doubt, and things that we can't be talked out of. I still struggle with the why. I do. And we don't have time to go there today. I struggle with the why. But this is something I can't be talked out of. Wherever the pain is greatest, God is there. Wherever we try to keep people apart, to say who's in and who's out, God destroys those borders, our borders. Wherever there is someone struggling to see their worth, struggling to remember their dignity, God tears the heavens apart to say, you are my beloved. I delight in you. You can't talk me out of that. And yet, that's not where this story ends. I included the last verse that we heard today, which is normally not included in this story, because it jumps into the next story in the Gospel of Mark. And immediately, the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness. That next story that comes is of the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. It's a 40-day long thing that we observe during Lent. How convenient. The work is not done when we're baptized. The work is not done when we decide to turn our lives around. The work is not done in that moment when God descends, when God ascends, whenever that barrier gets broken down. That's not when the work is done. The baptism isn't just a symbolic ritual. That metanoia, that turning around and reorienting our lives towards each other, towards God, that requires sometimes being sent into the wilderness, just like Jesus was. And immediately, the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness, right after that proclamation of his belovedness. God calls us and claims us as their own. And having been called, we are sent out into our own messy, broken world, into the hardest, most painful places. We are sent out to be with each other, to cross borders just like God does, to tear apart everything that keeps us from one another, whatever that looks like. And to love each other as beloved children of God. Amen.
Yes, the gospel according to Beyonce, thank you. So in ancient biblical times, whenever two people would strike a deal, when they would come to an agreement, they would kind of officially get it in writing. They would shake hands, as it were, by sharing a meal together. Because there's really nothing much more intimate than sitting down and breaking bread with someone else. You know, eating a meal with someone kind of assuages that primordial fear that whatever I have, the lowly crumbs that I have, that you're going to steal it from me, from right underneath my nose. But we have a meal because we dare to trust. We dare to make a relationship. We dare to believe that there's a way forward. And I believe that it is at this table that we as humanity are at our best. It is at this table that there is no us or them, God or humanity. It is us and them. It is you and me. It is God and humanity. So come to this table, wherever you are in your faith, whatever you believe, knowing that you can be reconnected with God and reconnected with one another right here and right now. And wherever in your life is your deepest pain, trust that it is at this table that you can meet God, a God who is waiting to tear down any barrier between you and God and between us. So come. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Let us pray.
Lord, we thank you for the words that Rachel spoke today, and that there is still work to be done. And today, as we recognize and celebrate Transvisibility Day, we lift up this prayer to the transgender people, to the strong men and women. May you see yourselves as self-made heroes. Mm. A prayer to the non-binaries, to the genderless, to the in-between. May you take pride in who you are and who God has created you to be. You are perfectly put togethers, you beautiful messes, you rough around the edges, you gentle and wild ones. If you worry about being enough, trans enough, pretty enough, brave enough, strong enough, sure enough, hand over your questions and one final prayer and take the open hand of your own life. The only right way to be trans is the one that pressures your soul, preserves your soul, the one that helps you tend to the holy in you. The holy in your toes, in your lips, in your gut. The holy in your scars, in your hair or lack thereof. Fall in love with it. Assure it that it is welcome. Feed it with your hands. Speak its real name like it never had another. Whisper in its ear how good it looks. It deserves to thrive. It deserves safety. It deserves somewhere to rest. It deserves joy. When it's denied, nonetheless, hold it softly as a knowing one does. You are not a burden or a lie or a distraction. You are a holy encounter in all the ways you change, in all the ways you stay the same. Your flesh is a testimony to the power and beauty of wearing your own truth. It looks so good on you. When these facts make a home in your bones, when you can live, when you have begun to unload all that weight in your chest, don't settle for the ease of your own exhale. The air in your lungs is the gift of generations, and too many are running out of breath. Suffocated by misogyny and white supremacy and hate, by isolation and individualism, by the state. Mm. The only right way to be trans is the one that preserves your soul, so we can find each other and tend well to the holy. In this collective body, yearning to be received authentically, justly, and holy. Please join me in, as a community, we pray for and with those in mourning, those facing uncertain diagnoses, those feeling anxious, those struggling in their marriages, and with Mike and Joanne and their family, Josue and Victor, Liz, Christopher, Sandra, Chrissy, Tony, Colleen, Sophia, Alex, Marissa, Tyrus, Tanisha, James, and Nicole. We lift all of this up in your name, and we join together in the prayer that the Lord taught us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Knowing about the power of sharing a meal, Jesus, on the night he was arrested, gathered with some of his closest friends for a humble meal. At the end of the meal, he took bread, he blessed it, and he broke it, saying, "Friends, this is my body, and it's broken for you. Every time you do this, remember me." In the same way, he took the cup, he blessed it, and he poured it out, saying, "This is my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of every sin. Every time you do this, remember me." For every time that we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we tear down barriers between us and we boldly declare that we are one people united with God until the revolution comes, when Jesus will wipe away every tear, make us whole in body, mind, and spirit, and we'll all be united together as one. Friends, in the moment, you will be invited to come forward and to participate in the Lord's Supper. You're invited to come and tear off a piece of bread as large as you understand God's grace for you to be, which means take a lot, to dip it in the cup to eat and to return to your seat. So that our table can be open to absolutely everyone, we'll have a gluten-free option here at the front. Friends, this table is here for you and for me and for God. So come. Everything has been made ready. The only thing that's missing is you. Come. May my servers come forward.
Thank you. So friends, we have the great privilege here at Broad Street Ministry of welcoming many people into this space, and that we have the great privilege of having people oftentimes for a season. And so we are coming to a season of sending someone out, and so this is the last Sunday that Alan will be with us. So could you first give him a round of applause and show him some love as he comes up here? So a little history, Alan first worked as our pastoral fellow, and then in this time of transition, as I was coming on as the pastor, he was able to stick around for another additional 7 months, and we've been grateful for that. He's also been working on something that's called CPE, Clinical Pastoral Education, which means he's been a chaplain in a hospital. And so his next step is that he will be a chaplain at a retirement home and be working with older folks, working with memory issues, preaching, doing some really great work, and then working towards his ordination because he's almost right there. And so we have gotten the blessing of having his sparkly, wonderful, deep voice presence in our community for this past year and a half or so. But we love to send people out with a commissioning, with a blessing, by doing something that Christians have done for thousands of years, and that is by praying over him and by putting our hands on his shoulders and offering a prayer by laying on his hands with him. So if anyone would like to come forward who's a part of our leadership here or has gotten to know Alan in any way, shape, or form, come join us as we pray for Alan and we send him out. It can be the entire congregation. That's cool, too. Because we've all been loved by Alan. Let us pray. Loving God, you see all of the people in this circle, all of the people whose lives have been touched by Alan. And this is only a small portion of the many hundreds of people who have gotten to know Alan in this space, who have had the opportunity to sit with him. Alan has listened to people, he has heard their stories, he has cared for them, and he shared a little bit of his own story as well. And so, loving God, I pray that on this day in which he is leaving us, he may know how dearly he is loved by this community, by how much he has made his mark on us, how well he has loved us. And may you send him forth with courage and with strength, knowing that this past year and a half, you have stretched him, you have grown him, you have given him the exact skills that he needs for where he will go next in his ministry. We pray for these next steps, for the steps towards being certified and ready and being ordained, that you would step in and make all of these processes possible, that they would seamlessly move forward and that he would find the place where you have called him in this next season. Loving God, may he know that he is not alone when he leaves this place, that we go with him, that he is a part of this great communion of saints within Broad Street Ministry, and that he will continue to live in this space, that he is always welcome home in this space as well. And may he know that you will never leave his side, and that the deepest pains of his heart are exactly where you will be, and where you will walk beside him. Give him strength, give him courage. May he continue to brighten this world and hold the pains that so many people have. Thank you for the ways that you've moved through him and for the ways he has blessed this community. We pray all of this in the name of your son. Amen. Amen. You guys can give Alan a little hug, give him a round of applause. So I really like presents, and so I got Alan some presents. We got Alan some presents. First of all is we have a beautiful kind of matte frame, a picture of Broad Street over there if you'd like to sign that. And so he'll have this beautiful frame so that he can take that with him. The other thing is months and months ago, Alan said something that he really wanted a bubble umbrella, like a clear umbrella, and I was like, that is a weird thing to say. And I remembered it, and I bought him one, but then he walked in like last week with a bubble umbrella, and I was like, whatever. All right, so I got him another umbrella, which I think better exemplifies the amazingness. And so it's a perfect day since he's raining, and it's, he can just live that up. And then last but not least, so that he may remember to have courage on his journey, we gave him a little windmill statue so that he remembers to kind of tilt at the giants in the world and that he can be strong, that people may call him crazy, but it is worth fighting the fight nonetheless. So one more time, will you give Alan a little love?
You know, praise be, this will be the last time I futz with this thing. That's going to be maybe a rule that I get a headset instead of a clip-on, because I can't deal with the clip-on. Okay, so there's only one announcement today, thanks be to God. The first announcement and the only announcement is on Tuesday, this upcoming Tuesday, the day after April Fool's, from 3 to 4:30 here in this space, we'll have Daniel Sered. We'll be doing sort of a panel, I think, discussion, or at least presentation on violence, mass incarceration, and a possible road to repair. So please, if you have off that day, you certainly can join us for that. Now we move into a time of offering. Yes, you may.
To celebrate Alan, we have some delicious Philly pretzels over here. So after the service, you join us. And then if you're interested in an adult beverage, we'll also be going somewhere afterwards. So please join us.
I really enjoyed Rachel's sermon and that message. So I'm going to riff off that a bit. We are called and sent to cross borders, to tear down walls. We do this as we take a risk. We risk revealing our names and interests. We do this as we open our hearts and name our joys and our sorrows in prayer. We do this as we give our money, proclaiming that our worth is not based on society standards of success, but our human dignity and worth is based simply on the fact that God made us and God calls us all beloved. We resist that which separates us from one another. We are called to cross borders and to tear down walls. The offering will now be received.
receive this blessing. The God who tore the heavens apart to be here loves you beyond anything you can possibly imagine and has grace for you more than anything you think you might deserve. Go knowing that that God accompanies you everywhere you are called and everywhere you are sent. Amen. We close things out at Broad Street here by the passing of the peace, which is an ancient Christian tradition, much like the laying on of hands that we just did. We're all into ancient Christian traditions today. Hooray! And the passing of the peace is something that we've been doing to mark God's presence in our community. So whether you feel particularly peaceful or not today, it is Christ's peace that we are passing in and amongst each other. So as this service concludes, I invite you to approach somebody that you do know, somebody that you don't know, and say to them, "The peace of Christ be with you," to which you will most assuredly hear the reply. The peace of Christ be with you all.